This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Monday, the 22nd of June, and the time is 6 a.m. in New York. Equity markets are mixed today, with Wall Street and Japan up, while Europe stayed flat. At the latest close on Wall Street, the S&P 500 rose 1.1% and the Nasdaq gained 2.5%. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 was up 0.1%, while Switzerland's SMI fell by the same amount. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 climbed 1.5% higher. In foreign exchange, 1 euro buys 1.145 US dollars and 1 US dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs. Brent crude is trading at $79 a barrel after a 1.6% fall, and gold is down 0.6% at $4,197 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Anna. So, after that market backdrop, what's changing in U.S. equity issuance?
Hi, Daniel. U.S. equity issuance is picking up sharply. We think IPO issuance is on track to reach between 200 and 350 billion U.S. dollars this year, and secondary offerings could exceed 400 billion. In absolute dollar terms, both would represent record highs.
So are you seeing that as a material headwind for U.S. equity markets?
Yeah, great question. First, heavier issuance would really represent a return to normal. The absolute dollar value may reach a new high, but the overall market has also grown significantly. Relative to total U.S. equity market capitalization of around $72 trillion U.S. dollars, our estimate for this year is only slightly above the long-term average as a share of the Russell 3000 free float market cap. From that perspective, we think equity markets should be able to accommodate the increase in issuance.
And what does the net supply picture add to that view?
Yes, and that's important. Net equity supply still matters, and here the picture is more supportive than the gross issuance headlines imply. U.S. share buybacks totaled 1.2 trillion U.S. dollars over the past 12 months, and we expect repurchases to remain around that level through the balance of the year. So in aggregate, the corporate sector will likely buy back slightly more stock than it issues this year. That increases our confidence that equity issuance should not be a material headwind to further equity market gains.
Right, and does history suggest heavier IPO activity tends to hurt future market returns?
Not really. Academic literature and our own analysis do not show a consistent relationship between changes in IPO activity and forward market returns. Even the five largest U.S. domiciled IPOs since 1990 showed no discernible effect on broader U.S. equity performance in the surrounding weeks. The stronger historical relationship is that IPO activity is a coincident indicator. Issuance tends to rise when markets are strong and fall when conditions weaken materially. That makes sense because when markets are up, investors are more willing to invest in new issues, and companies usually secure higher valuations for their shares.
So what should investors focus on instead, and how are you thinking about positioning?
That's the key point, and without taking any single company views, we think the recovery in issuance is more a sign of healthier market conditions than a reason for caution. We prefer to focus less on headline deal volumes and more on fundamentals, especially the outlook for corporate profits, which remains the most important driver of equity returns over time. That said, portfolio construction matters just as much as market direction. Investors should review concentration risk, strengthen diversification across sectors, styles, and regions, and avoid letting a small number of holdings dominate outcomes. Within AI, we continue to focus on beneficiaries of the build-out, with picks and shovels exposure to areas such as semiconductors, hardware, memory, foundries, optics, and electrical equipment. Stepping back, AI remains one of the three pillars of our transformational innovation approach. We continue to recommend diversified exposure across these trio themes, which also include longevity and power and resources. Longevity in particular has shown diversification benefits for portfolios with significant exposure to growth-sensitive technology companies.
Great, thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. More details have emerged on the latest US-Iran talks. Oil gave up earlier gains on Monday after high-ranking US and Iranian officials concluded the first round of talks in Switzerland. A joint statement from mediating nations Qatar and Pakistan said the US and Iran agreed to a roadmap toward a final deal within 60 days, and that technical talks will continue over the rest of this week. The statement also noted that the parties agreed to a mechanism to end the fighting in Lebanon and opened a communications line to help ensure safe passage for commercial ships through the Strait of Hormuz. That came after Tehran announced over the weekend that it had again closed the strait, and after President Donald Trump renewed his threat to resume attacks on Iran. At the time of writing, Brent crude was down 1.6% at $79.3 a barrel, while S&P 500 futures had paired earlier declines. With the negotiations set to include long-standing issues such as Iran's nuclear and ballistic missile programs, fresh geopolitical headlines are likely to remain a key source of volatility in the near term in our view. But our base case remains that equities can move higher over the next 6 and 12 months, as we expect continued strength in AI capex, a resilient US economy, ongoing fiscal spending around the world, and strong credit creation to support corporate earnings growth and markets more broadly. We believe investors should stay invested while keeping diversification at the center of portfolio construction. Another development we are watching is Japan's rally. The Nikkei 225 rose above 72,000 for the first time on Monday as AI optimism outweighed uncertainty over the US-Iran peace talks. That came after a Nikkei report on Friday that Sanae Takaichi's government plans to set a target of around 370 trillion yen in public and private investment in strategic sectors, including AI and chips, by 2040. Year to date, the Japanese equity benchmark has risen by more than 44%. While AI remains the core earnings driver in the near term for Japanese equities, we see scope for a broader market rally as easing geopolitical risks and energy supply normalization support a catch-up in lagging cyclical sectors such as machinery, financials, construction, selected autos, and leisure. We maintain our attractive rating on Japanese equities and see further upside as market leadership broadens beyond AI. For more details on this, read our latest report on Japanese equities, titled From AI-Led Rally to Broad-Based Upside, published on the 16th of June. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copy circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.